Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Father, for what you are doing through us, in us. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the movement of your Holy Spirit amongst us, Lord. We thank you for a good season of meetings last week, Lord. So many lives were touched and changed by the enormous power that you have in your hand, Father. This morning, Lord, we will not settle for anything less than what you've been up to, Lord God. We call it right now, Lord God, that your anointing would just be in this place, Father God. You would open up our lives and our hearts to receive, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. As you're going there, let me tell you a little story. Some of you have probably heard it before, because it's one of those nutty things that I've done occasionally that, well, never mind, I'll back up and tell the truth. I do a lot of nutty things. It's not occasional, it's pretty much all the time. My wife and I were in the bathroom, and we were getting dressed. I don't know if we were going to church or whatever, but that's probably about what we were doing. And you have to know that this has been many years ago, and for the longest time, I had a job where I welded all the time, and so I was used to handling hot metal. Not like, you know, smoking hot, but hotter than most people. My hands had calluses on them, and I was used to picking up hot metal and moving it around. So my wife was getting dressed, and she had that curling iron, and she's curling those curls. And I picked it up, and I put the tube of it in my hand. And I thought, well, this dumb thing isn't even hot. Held on to it for a while. I said, I thought a curling iron would be hotter than that. I never messed with one before. And so, being as it wasn't very hot, I just reached over and stuck it to her arm. And she said, ah, that hurt, why'd you do that? I said, it's not even that hot. And she said, it is too hot, it burnt me. I looked at her arm, and sure enough, there was this little mark on it. And I thought, and I stuck it to my own arm, because I'd just been holding it a moment ago and it wasn't that hot. And I started screaming where it burnt me. So we went to church that day or wherever we were going, and we were like twins. We had matching burns on our arm. I made her cover them up because I didn't want anybody asking her what had happened to her. Oh, my knucklehead husband burnt me with a curling iron because he said it wasn't hot. The whole reason I tell that story is, you see, my hands were much more capable of holding on to that curling iron. They could stand the heat. Y'all with me? My arm didn't have any calluses on it, nor did Renee's. And by the way, if you have calluses on your arm, that's kind of weird, okay? So, this morning, the Lord really has a message for all of us in this room. And the title of it is, Can You Stand to Be Blessed? Can you stand it? I mean, do you have what it takes on the inside of you to be able to stand underneath the faucet of God and to receive the blessings that He has already preordained for you to have? Now, understand, I used a term there that we all got to capture. God has preordained. He has said this even before the foundation of the earth was laid, before Jesus stepped out and said, let there be. God determined that each and every one of us in this room would be recipients of His blessings. Are y'all there? He preordained it. Before I was ever born, God says, man, I want to bless his socks right off his feet. But my question to us, all of us in this room, is can we stand it? Can we stand to be blessed? Can we stand in the midst of that blessing and hang on and not move? Well, there's a little prayer or a little scripture about a guy who prayed this prayer that became very famous a few years ago. A little book was written and everybody jumped on the bandwagon. Never preached off of this before, but this is a guy named Jabez. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And this is what it says. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain, or I bore him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, we got to learn a little bit about Jabez before we start this story. And And Jabez, you have to understand, he was named Jabez, and the meaning of his name means sorrow. It's from an unused root, probably meaning to grieve. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain, or I bore him in sorrow. We don't know exactly the direct meaning of what his mother was talking about. Whenever she says, I bore this child in pain, or I bore this child in sorrow, either it was a sorrow for her husband being dead, or by the reason of these very sharp pains that she endured during childbirth, natural childbirth. It could have been, you know, enormous pain. It could have been that her husband, but regardless of this, she named him Jabez, meaning to grieve, or meaning to have a sorrow or pain. It reminds me of a story where this guy named Jacob had a wife named Rachel. Very, very special to him was this wife. He had a couple of sons, a guy named Joseph that you will obviously recognize. But he also had a younger son named Benjamin. Now Benjamin, this is what it says in Genesis 35:18, and it came to pass as her soul was departing, she was dying, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So here's the story. Rachel is giving birth and she's dying after the child's been born. And she calls her son Benoni, means son of my sorrow. I mean, how'd you like to carry around that moniker for the rest of your life? Son of my sorrow. My mom named me this because I was being born, I guess, and I killed her. But now, you remember Jacob, his father, he said, no, it's not going to be his name. His name's going to be Benjamin. And Benjamin has a totally different meaning than Benoni. Benjamin means the son of my right hand. You know how important your right hand is to you if you're right-handed, correct? So that's what he's saying to his son. Your mother calls you the son of my sorrow, but I call you the son of my right hand. Now, folks, the reason I told those stories and kind of expounded on that scripture, I didn't have to, but this is exactly what I believe that happens many times in our own lives. Folks, we get born again. We have a John chapter 3 born-again experience. Jesus Christ comes into our life. Woo! That's a good deal. That's an amen right there. You can do it. Jesus is now Lord of our life. But man, we come into this relationship oftentimes with so much baggage. You understand what baggage is? The way we were raised, things we did, sins that we committed. Are you with me? We come into this relationship and oftentimes, now remember, God has preordained that we would be blessed by Him. Come on. But we come into this relationship with Him and now we're lining up so that we're going to get blessed. But it's kind of like we just sometimes can't stand to be blessed. We read these scriptures in the Bible and over and over and over and over, God says, man, I want to bless you. You're my child. I love you. You're the apple of my eye. I want to give you everything that I have. In fact, I want to make you joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You've got the whole kingdom is yours. But because of our past, because of something somebody called us one time, son of my sorrow, son of my grief, come on. You may have been labeled stupid. You may have been labeled an underachiever. You may have been labeled lazy. I don't know what it might be, but it's just like sometimes we get there, we read these promises, but we just can't stand to be blessed. And so we start making up things, well, God doesn't want to bless me because I was like that whenever I was growing up. I was like that whenever I was a teenager. I did all these things in my 20s. I lived like a hellion until I was 35. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes we cut our own selves out of the equation. God says, no. John chapter 3 says, you're mine. You're mine. Being born again, you're mine. But we oftentimes say, So that's kind of it. It doesn't make any difference what man has said about you. It doesn't matter what kind of environment or circumstances that you have come out of, or maybe even that you're still in. This is a question I got to ask you. What's your father said about you? Come on. Everything around you may speak of weakness or failure or insignificance or sorrow or despair. But the question that you got to keep asking, because this is kind of it, can you stand to be blessed? Can you stand to align yourself with the will of God and say, God, I am yours. There is no difference between me and Billy Graham. The only thing is, he's a few years older than I am. Come on. I'm a child of the Most High God. Billy Graham is a child of the Most High God. We will sit at the same table. Hallelujah. We will live in the same eternity. We will see the same Jesus. His blood has washed our sins away. Well, but I'm no Billy Graham. No, I'm not any Billy Graham, but I am a child of the Most High God. And so what we've got to get into our head, it's not about what circumstances, what kind of insignificance we might feel, or what kind of weaknesses it might be in our life, what kind of failures that we've lived with. It's what our Father says about us. This is a great scripture. Psalm 68:13. You can write it down. It says, though you lie down among the sheepfolds. Now, I'm just going to tell you something, man. I have seen sheepfolds. Sheepfolds are full of sheep stuff. And this scripture says, though you lie down among sheepfolds, in other words, you lie down in the manure of the sheep. Come on. It says, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. That's what God says about you. Even though you're here on this planet, and folks, you may have to lie down in the sheepfold every once in a while, God sees you different. He says, man, you're like the dove. The wings covered with silvers or feather with yellow gold. Though we may be surrounded by ashes, maybe we may be surrounded by brokenness, we may be surrounded by confusion, despair. Yet we are not what we are surrounded by. Come on. Because we got to understand, it's what God says about us. And that's what he's saying. He says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. This morning, you have to understand, I'm kind of preaching this message with a little bit of an ulterior motive. I believe God is as well. You see, what we don't understand is God wants to bless us, yes, for us, but more for somebody else. He wants to pour blessings into our lives so that we can, in turn, be a blessing to others. Come on. So it's a little bit alternative motive. See, I'll be honest with you. I've set a goal of $250,000 from this church to missions every year. You go, we're in Franklin, North Carolina. We're just a little church. I don't care. I believe God can bless us in such a way that indeed we can send $250,000 every year to missions. I just believe that. Because it's not about the circumstances that we're in. It's not about how confused we are, what kind of brokenness we've come out of. But it's because of what God says about us. He looks at this group of individuals and goes, man, those are my kids. I want to bless them. But the problem is sometimes we just can't stand it. We're just so used to living underneath the bar. Are you with me? We're so used to saying, I just don't deserve that. See, you got to understand that sometimes things are not always as they appear. You know, one of the worst kids that I ever had in children's church, I mean the worst kid, he was a terror. I wanted to kill him on many, many occasions. And yes, you heard me right. I wanted to kill him. I read the scriptures and I said, God, I understand if I kill him, you will forgive me, yes? It was a constant thorn in my side. He grew up to be a pastor. He called me on the phone one day talking to me. He's already in the ministry, pastoring a bunch of kids. And you know what I told him? I said, I hope you get about 24 just like you. Things aren't always as they appear. You have this rambunctious kid, this mischievous child, and he grows up to be a man of God. Are you with me? In the Bible, there was this crippled beggar that moseyed in on two crutches and absolutely set himself at the king's table. His name was Mephibosheth. And he was royalty. But nobody would have ever believed he was royalty. One time there was a simple carpenter. Just a carpenter. Grew up in a middle class home. Serving in his father's business. And albeit he didn't turn out to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine one day going to his dad's business and getting him to build a table for you? You take that table home and you set it, you're eating around it all the day, and then all of a sudden you find out that the King of the universe made that table for you? That'd be better than rooms to go. See, things sometimes aren't always as they appear. And you're looking in the mirror and you go, you're not really the best Christian in the world. Folks, let me just tell you something. You do not have to be the best Christian. You've got to be a child of God. Folks, we're all struggling. We're all moving forward. There's not any one of us that have ever made it except for Jesus Christ. We're still dealing with all the difficulties of this world. God doesn't wait on that to bless us. He waits on us to believe He will bless us. In 1 Chronicles 4:9, it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers," or his brethren. More honorable, it means deserving of honor, more respectable or responsible, more dependable, more committed, more trustworthy, more devoted. Not because things were made better or easier for him, but for better use of what was available to him. That's why Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Wasn't that he had a life that was easier? Wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth? His mom says, "Hey man, your name is sorrow. Your name is grief. You, man, I will punch you." Caleb, we're always kidding him because whenever he was born, Renee had all kinds of health problems afterward. We didn't know exactly what was happening. We found out through a lot of medical tests that she had a broken rib. And the reason she had a broken rib is because Caleb broke it while he was in the womb. So about once a week, I just walked by him, hit him on the head. I said, "That's for breaking your mother's rib." Okay, it's twice a week. I have to be honest. I really don't. But I have. Jabez was called all of these things, and he didn't have it easy, but he took what it was that was given to him, and he used what was available to him in the best way it could be used. True honor is not what a person has, but in the character of the one who has it. What God's blessed you with now, use it. Use it for His glory. Use it for the furtherance of His kingdom. Be more honorable. Don't let your stuff waste. You got stuff, take care of it. You got stuff, take care of it. Service your automobile when it needs to be serviced. Come on. Do what it needs to that you need to do so as to make the things that God has already put in your hand be a good steward of them. A few years ago, I'd get our electric bill here at the church every month, and I just used to seethe because of how much they charged us for these outdoor lights. And I said, "God, I hate to pay that. I hate to pay it. I hate to pay it. I hate to pay it." God wants us to be a good steward. And so one day I was looking at that electric bill, and I thought, I'm going to call Duke Power, and I'm going to ask them why they charge us so much. I called them on the phone, and I found out that they'd been charging us for two lights that weren't even on this property. They took them off about 12 years earlier. And we were still paying for them 12 years later. And I said, "Well, you owe us a refund, a big one." "Oh, but they got this crazy law that says they won't pay us more than 3 years of a refund. We've been pinned to them." I told them, I said, "Listen, man, this ain't anything about economics. This is about morality. You have stolen from us for the last 12 years. They didn't see it that way, but they sent us a couple of dollars refund, and we were thankful for that. God requires us to be a good steward. Check your credit card bill. I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm just saying he was more honorable. He took what it was that was given to him, and he used it. He used it for the best way it could be used. In 1 Chronicles 4:9 it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Brethren means brothers, brotherly kindred, like or relatives, kinship, same tribe, of the same resemblance. This means that Jabez excelled above those of his kindred, those of his tribe, those of his resemblance. This is a characteristic that God would have in all of his children. The desires and ambition and effort to be the best that they can be. That's what Jabez had in his spirit. I want to be the best that I can be. Folks, I got to be honest with you. In the world that you and I live in, Christian men and women, come on now, follow me. You ought to be the best worker that your employee has ever hired. You should be a man or woman of integrity. What you say, you will do it. And you perform. Whenever the work is done and there's nothing left to do, find something else to do. I wasn't as weak as I thought it'd be. Young people, whenever you get hired and you go to work at whatever job you're working at, be the best employee you can be. Be the best you can be. Don't go and listen to other people that are around you. Go, hey, man, the boss doesn't make us do this. You know, we can get by with fudging here and fudging here. Don't do it. Don't listen to them. That's the way the world thinks. You see, God wants us to center ourselves underneath His spigot. And one of the ways that we center ourselves is being the best that we can be for His kingdom. See, this desire, this ambition, it takes personal effort. It takes personal application. And whenever we begin to apply ourselves, whenever we begin to give effort and be the best that we can be in any area of our lives, it's going to place us in a more honorable position than those in our tribe. We kind of live in a tribe. Tribe of humanity. Let me just say something. You should be a standout. You should be a standout at school. You know, I'll be very honest with you. One of my greatest regrets of growing up is that I was a slough off in high school. Whenever I got to the seventh grade of school, I had never made a B on anything in my life. I was in academic accelerated classes, and that was back before it was a big thing. They wanted to move me forward. And you know, I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm just telling you the sad true story of the life and times of J.D. Watson. Seventh grade, I never made a B on anything. I'm not talking about a report card. I never made a B on a test. But I went to high school, and I became a worthless no good. I mean, I got Fs on my report card. I have Fs. You look at my high school transcript, I have Fs. Not enough of them to flunk me. Because whenever I thought I was going to flunk, I'd do a little bit of work. My best friend and another best friend ended up being valedictorian and salutatorian. And they both used to chew me out all the time. They said, man, I cannot believe you're at the bottom of the class. I brag about to everybody that I'm in the top 20 of my class. But we only had 21 seniors. And I think I was like 18th. And the three that were underneath me, whoo, man, they were really bad. But I was considered by my teachers as somebody that was just a goof off. I didn't apply myself. Apply yourselves, young people. Apply yourselves. God wants us to be the best that we can be. He wants us to be someone that has ambition, somebody that puts forth effort. In 1 Chronicles 4:10 it says, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now, we got to make sure something's square here. Whenever Jabez prays a prayer like this, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. It doesn't mean that you're praying a prayer and say, God, just give me more. Just give me more. More, 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 more. Pour it on me, Lord. Jesus, my name is Jimmy, and I'll take all you can give me. It's not what I'm talking about. I'll be very honest with you. I think oftentimes, we overlook some of the most significant blessings that God can put in our hands. Because we're always thinking, well, He's going to put some more money in my bank account. And indeed, He might. There's all kinds of ways that God's going to bless us. But I'll be very honest with you. I want God to enlarge my circle of influence. Come on. That's blessing, folks. More people that I know, my sphere of ministry. God, I want to impact more people. And I want to tell you something. If I stepped up and said, God, would you bless me indeed? Because I've come to a place in my own life to where, like last year when we celebrated Christmas, I'm going to talk to my kids this year. I'm going to say, guys, no presents, man. I don't need anything. Come on. Anything that's material. Are you with me? I don't need anything. I got 5-6 pairs of socks. I got about a half a dozen pair of underwear. I'm good. Come on. Lighten up a little bit. I don't need anything. And so whenever I pray, I'd like God to bless me financially so I can bless others. God bless me materially so I can bless others. But more than anything, I want Him to enlarge my circle of influence. I want Him to enlarge my circle of ministry. I want Him to give me more responsibility as it pertains to the kingdom of God. Come on. That your hand would be with me. And that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Are you seeing what he's saying here? It's not all about blessing me financially, blessing me with land and crops. He's saying, man, that you would keep me from evil. Man, that is a blessing. Come on, folks. That's a blessing. That you would help me to cause no pain. You know, one of the things that is the worst grief that you can possibly have as a pastor is whenever you mess up and you hurt somebody. I tried very diligently not to hurt people. Now, if I'm preaching the Word and the Word hurts you, that's a totally different thing. Come on. But man, JD can mess up, and I hate to hurt people. God, help me not to hurt people. Man, if I could go through the next 3 or 4 years and not hurt anybody, do you realize what kind of blessing that would be? So Jabez is praying this prayer. He says, God, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory. Man, he's saying, I want this bigger sphere of ministry, this bigger circle of influence. I don't want to cause pain. Keep me from evil. You see, I believe Jabez understood that if you do not keep God first in your life, even in the things that should bless you, there'll be a source of grief for you. How many of y'all know God's blessing can turn into a curse? Y'all there? God's blessings can turn into a curse. Man, how many of you have heard, and please don't take this and run with it, but I'm not talking about the lottery being a blessing of God, but I will say this. It's been men and women throughout the years of lottery that's won these big jackpots, and it's absolutely ruined them. It's ruined them. They've found themselves and their lives totally turned upside down, and you'd think, my goodness, they got $137 million. How could you be a mess like this? Because they haven't did it God's way. Are y'all with me? Sometimes we just can't stand to be blessed. See, a blessing is only a blessing as long as it keeps you close to the one who gave it to you. Come on. See, whenever a blessing is an end in itself. In other words, I just want, I want, I want, give it to me. And then whenever you got it, that's as far as you go. Ultimately, that thing will end up being a blessing that will bring grief into your life. Man, this little passage is so short. Jabez just kind of puts it on the line. He says, God, bless me. And God says, okay. That's what he said. It says right at the very end of it. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, in case y'all get hung up on this, we got to make sure you understand. Blessing was not Jabez's idea. It was God's idea. You see, whenever Jabez was born, God's idea was, I want to pour out some blessing on that guy. Y'all with me? See, whenever Mark Albrecht was born, God says, I want to pour out some blessing on him. Whenever Dalton, whenever you were born, believe this or not, God looked down at you and said, I want to bless that young man right there. I want to bless him. Natalie, it was you. You were born right there in your mom's arms. She's just cradling you and deciding whether or not she's going to keep you. You're going to grow up to be... No, she wanted you, and she looks at you, but God looks down and says, man, I want to bless that young lady till her socks come off. I mean, I'm born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Is there anybody else in this place born in Albuquerque? Oh, yes! Way to go, Albuquerque. Presbyterian Hospital? Is that where you're born? In a doctor's office. Oh, in the doctor's hospital? Pfft, I was born in Presbyterian, and I'm Assembly of God. What we got to understand, though, is it's God's idea. It's God's idea to bring increase to us, regardless of where we were born, regardless of what kind of family we grew up, regardless of how long it took us to see the light and ultimately come to Him and get a hold of Jesus. It's God's idea. It's God's plan to bring increase. It's God's will that... Man, I don't know if I should say this or not. I'm going to just put it out there. If it hurts, tough. Some of us need to increase in wisdom and knowledge. I want to tell you, as a pastor, I have seen so many people do so many dumb things. Dumb things. Totally contrary to the Word of God, and yet they just step out and do it. I can remember one time counseling an individual. I said, man, you don't need to do that. That is not God. That is not, it doesn't make any sense. It's outside of the line of his will. It's outside of the line of his word. And that afternoon he went down and did it. After spending all morning with me in my office, I thought I had him talked out of it. Are you with me? And he just gets up and goes, I didn't hear nothing he said. I'm going to go do it. And it ended up being an albatross around his neck for many years. It took him to get out from underneath it. Folks, we need to pray, God, I want to increase in your wisdom and your knowledge. Let me just tell you something. If you do it God's way, you will never make a mistake. Come on. You'll never make a mistake. God wants to increase our wisdom. He wants to increase our knowledge. So see, this morning, this whole thing is expanding. It's not just about material things that God wants to put in our hands so as that we can increase and bless the kingdom. He wants to bless us. He wants to bring increase in our lives in so many different ways. He wants our wisdom to increase, our knowledge, our prosperity to just take off. In Deuteronomy 6:3, it says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised, and that you will inherit this land of milk and honey. I like that. In Job 8:7, it says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. Folks, that's something right there. Some sort to get a hold of. Some of us oftentimes work in jobs that you just can't make ends meet. It seems like at the end of the month there's just not enough money to pay the rent. It's not enough money to give to the Lord all that you would like. Understand this. Maybe your beginning is small, but God wants to bless you. I had a young man that worked in their children's ministry in Houston, and him and his wife were just poor. They were broke. They were destitute. They were behind on their rent. They were all kinds of things. And there was a young man that got a hold of his life and began to teach him literally the things that are taught in Crown Financial. It's a plug for you. They began to teach how to manage your money the way God says to manage your money. But they also began to teach them about God wanting to bless them. And before very long, I'm just going to tell you something. God blessed them abundantly. They moved into a new house and they paid cash for it. Come on. In their 20s, they banked enough money to pay cash for their house. You say, what was it, $125 house? Was it one of these little mini houses? No, it was like a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, had a big carport. It was a very, very nice home. It was a modest home for the community, but it was a very nice home. He wants to bless you abundantly. Here's a family that indeed, they started small, but their latter end would increase abundantly. In Psalm 115, 14, it says, may the Lord give you increase more and more. Huh, I like that. More and more. It's like whenever we were in Africa doing a missions trip there, we were at these sweet, sweet people's place building a church, and the ladies all cooked for us, and they cooked some stuff that I'm just not exactly sure what it was, but it had a bunch of goat in it. Chris, you remember, man. And I don't think they skinned the goat, and I don't think they took the hair off the goat. They just cooked it all. And so, man, right away, we're asking the people that know how to say in Swahili just a little bit. And so when we put our plates out there, we said, just a little bit. They just scooped it on. Whew. Whew. I ate hairy goat. I ate it. I just said, man, they cook for us, and that's more money they spent on that one meal than they would have spent a whole month for themselves. And so I wasn't about to say anything. I just said, hairy goat, here we come. I'm telling you, it wasn't that bad, really. It really kind of was bad, wasn't it? Yeah. So anyway, they knew how to put more and more on your plate. The thing is, they'd come around, you almost had it finished. And they'd sneak up behind you over their shoulder. They'd another slop there. More and more. They knew how to bless you with their food. So here in Psalm 115, it says, may the Lord give you increase more and more. Come on, folks. This is Bible right here. And then it goes on in that same verse to say, you and your children. I'm just wondering, is there anybody in this room that would love for your children to grow up in poverty? No. I want my kids to be blessed. I want to be blessed so much they don't ever come and ask me for anything. I want them to be so blessed whenever I get old and need a place to live, they got extra rooms. This is what it says. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. Come on. Can you stand this morning just to stand and be blessed? Say, God, this is what your words say. Sometimes we've got this idea that as Christians, we have to be some type of minimalist. You know, we got to live on just the bare necessities. Buy one pair of shoes every 5 years. Live in total poverty. Let me explain something to you. Prosperity is not rebellion against our dependence on God. Are y'all with me? Prosperity is a reward of a life lived in dependence and recognition of God. Are y'all there? So it's not like we're saying, God, I want you to prosper me, and it's some kind of rebellion against Him and our dependence upon Him. Prosperity is this reward that God gives us whenever we live a life that is in right alignment with Him, recognizing that He is the blesser, recognizing that He is the giver, recognizing He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. A couple of things we need to go over very quickly, and then we're going to close. First of all, well, is there anybody in here that has something really important to do like at 12:30? Okay, then we'll go past that. Good. Didn't see any hands. First of all, prosperity is God's will. Come on. Prosperity is God's will. This is what's said in 3 John 1:2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And let me just tell you something. If you're born again, your soul is mighty right, all right. That's what my bus driver used to say all the time. How are you doing, Cecil? Mighty right, all right. That's how I'm doing. Because he always wanted everybody to know he's doing great. If you're born again, your soul is, woo, good. Everybody's getting excited about that. But here in 3 John it says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So I'm saying, oh God, I want all things to line up with the way my soul is. Prosper me the way my soul is prospered. Make my health right. Man, I agree with Frank Butler. I agree with the words that he's preached, man. Folks, we got to get in this thing. God says we can be healthy. Come on. In Psalm 1:3 it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth fruit in its seasons, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Come on, this is God's will for us. In 2 Chronicles 2:20 it says, "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa." Oh, that's down the street from us. Different spelling there. "And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper.'" You know who the prophets were? They were the people that were speaking the word of God in Jehoshaphat's day. Are y'all with me? We've got the word of God being spoken to us right out of this book. Believe this book, and you will prosper. Deuteronomy 29:9, it says, "Therefore keep the words of his covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." So it is God's will to prosper us. Now, I don't really hit Caleb for breaking his mom's rib. Just a joke. Y'all knew that already anyway. But don't ask Caleb about it. I try to be a good father to my kids. I really do. I try to be as much blessing as I can to my children. I wish that I had a lot more resource so that I could be a greater blessing. I mean, I wish I had a couple of $1 million. I'd go to every one of my kids and pay off their mortgage. I would. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd make sure that they financially were set. I don't have that, so what I have to be the best father I can be. If they want to borrow my tools, I let them. If they want to eat my food, I let them. I plant a big garden every year, and I try to share it with them, but a lot of times they go, "Oh, we've got too many jalapenos." Let me just tell you something. There's no way you could ever have too many jalapenos. It's an impossibility. "Dad, you've already given us too many jalapenos." And I go, "No, I didn't hear that." And now not only do I want to prosper my kids, but I want to prosper my grandkids too. Every time we go into a store, you know what my wife does? She buys britches for this new kid that's not even born yet. She found out Jalen was pregnant and she was on the internet shopping. She says, "Here, order this." She just hands it to me. It was a little tiny pair of overalls. I figure that's good. Riding a horse, you know, 6 weeks old, no biggie. I want to bless my grandkids. I don't ever tell my wife, "Put that back. We're not buying that for Emma." "Mm-mm. Put that back. We're not buying that for Annie." We're not going to do that. I want to bless them. Let me just tell you something about our Heavenly Father. It blesses Him whenever we get blessed by Him. Come on, man. It blesses God whenever we prosper. Are y'all there with me? It blesses Him. In Psalm 35:27, it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, 'Let the Lord be magnified,'" listen to this, "'who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant.'" Are y'all there? God gets pleasure in our prosperity. He gets pleasure whenever He blesses us. And man, we're riding in, but whenever we've got wisdom and we use it, God takes pleasure in that. Whenever we have more money in our bank account than we have bills, God takes pleasure in it. Whenever we're able to make a missions commitment and say, "God, in faith, I'm believing that I'm going to bless missionaries all over this globe with this finance," it blesses God. Okay, now the downside. The devil hates to see God's people prosper. Hates it. He hates it. I hate to confess this about myself, but one of my children, I've actually nicknamed him the agitator. Because he could just always find something and just pick on. But he comes by it honestly. Because his mother married a man that just likes to pick. You know, whenever I find out that something bugs you, I love to do it. Somebody one time told me not to call them a certain name that I kind of called them. I've called them that for about 25 years now. Ranji. Rick, you know who I'm talking about. He's actually told me, don't call me that anymore. I said, oh, I'm sorry, Ranji. It's kind of like this. If we know it bugs the devil so much for us to be prospered by the hand of God, you and I ought to be out there doing some agitating. Are y'all with me? Come on. We ought to be out there saying, God, I can stand to be blessed, man. I can hold on to this thing. I'm not going to believe the lies that were told about me as I'm growing up. I'm going to believe what my Father says. Hallelujah! That I am a choice servant of the Most High God. I'm a king. I'm a priest. Hallelujah! I'm part of a holy nation. Woo! And that you want to bless me. The devil hates it. This is what it says in Psalm 112:10. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. You know what it's talking about there? Blessing. God's blessing his people. They're going to see it and they'll be grieved. I'm kind of like, man, let's bug the devil. Come on. Let's bug the devil. Let's find a place of blessing in God and let's receive it. And let's bug him. Some of you just don't take as much joy in that as I do. The other day I was pestering Renee and she was coming back at me. She said, stop, quit pestering me. And I told her, I said, Renee, what's the use of having a wife if you can't pester her every once in a while? And Caleb jumps in and says, yeah, Mom, what's the use of having a mother if you can't irritate her every once in a while? Pray for Renee. One of these days she might get tired of me pestering her and just pack her bags and leave. But I've already got a solution to that situation. I told her, I said, if you ever leave me, pack your bags, leave. I said, I'm going with you. I said, just know that. Okay, listen to this next one. The devil hates to see God's people prosper. This is the next one. Prosperity is not a miracle or a mystery. Prosperity is not a miracle or a mystery. And all y'all go, oh, wait a minute. It's from God's hand. Folks, understand it's a supernatural thing. But understand that it is a result of obedience to the principles of sowing and reaping. That's what prosperity is all about. In 2 Corinthians 9:6 it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. In 2 Corinthians 9:10 it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's all about living a lifestyle. It's all about being somebody in God's hands that He can trust with a blessing. So as whenever He trusts you with a blessing and you use it the way it's been designed to be used, God can pour more blessing into your life. With Jabez, it's kind of simple. Jabez prays this prayer, regardless of what it was that he was called whenever he was younger, regardless of what he was given, he used it for the best that he could possibly use it. And he prays this prayer to God, and this is simply put, God granted his request. I mean, folks, have you ever just thought about doing this to say, God, bless me. Just bless me. I want to live underneath your blessings. And I'm just going to get real crazy here, okay? Just real crazy. Some of you are going to hate me for what I'm about to say. There will be a day whenever I die, and I promise you this, there are going to be probably some regrets that I have as a man, things I've done that I go, man, I wish I hadn't have. But there will be some things whenever I die that I will have zero regrets. And one of the things that I will never regret is that Renee and I sacrificed in the area of finances so that we could raise our kids at home. And I know some of you are looking at me and go, "Ooh, but a woman right to work, so on and so forth." Folks, I want to tell you something. The reason so many women work today is almost because they have to. But I'll tell you this. If you'll start believing God, if you want to stay home with your kids and raise them, your own self, God will bless you. He will prosper you enough to where you can stay home. I know that may be unpopular, but I really don't care. I think it's biblical, to be very honest with you. That wasn't in my notes. It's free. Just begin to say, "God, prosper us enough." And now please understand this. You may have to give up the bass boat and the three cars that are parked in the garage. Come on. We do a lot of damage to ourselves. Renee and I lived without owning a house until we moved to Franklin, North Carolina. We never owned a house prior to this. We owned a mobile home one time. But we only paid $10,000 for that. And we had $5,000 cash down on that dude. It's really quiet in here. I'm just going to tell you, he doesn't want other people raising your kids. He wants you influencing your kids. And you can get mad at me. It's fine. I will not regret the decision I made. He granted his request. God wants to prosper you. And that's really not even the big question right now. It's, can he really trust you with prosperity and with blessing? I really believe there comes a greater responsibility. Whenever God begins to put finance in your hands, I'm telling you, he's doing that for a reason that has everything to do with his kingdom. Come on. If you find yourself just getting a windfall and you go, "Oh, wow, we can go on a shopping spree and blow this money." I'm telling you, you've missed it. Whenever something comes into your hands and you know it's from the hand of God, you need to go, "God, where do you want me to put this? What do you want me to do with this? Where do you want me to sow these seeds?" And so this morning, I'm asking the question again. Can you stand to be blessed? Can you measure up and say, "God, I realize whenever prosperity comes my way, you are going to require of me greater responsibility for the things you put in my hands." In Deuteronomy 8, it says this in verse 11 through 14, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Don't forget it's the Lord's hands. As you go on down that chapter into verse 17, it says, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." Whew. It's a bad place to be in. Everything he puts in your hands, understand this. You need to thank him for it. And you need to understand, it's not you, it's him. I'm going to just say this carefully but quickly. I believe that prosperity and the blessings of God is perhaps one of the greatest tests of godly character. Whenever God begins to bless you, it's a test. It's a test. I mean, a lot of times when we don't have anything, we really find ourselves leaning on the Lord, just saying, "Lord, you know, I got to have rent money next week, and you know, God supplies. Lord, I got to have money for groceries next week, and God supplies." And what we've got to understand is, whenever blessings come, we still need to be dependent on the Lord, just like that. I mean, this morning, I've talked a lot about Jabez, and really there's two scenarios that they're almost, you know, opposite of each other. And if you choose one, it's going to determine whether you, if you choose Jabez's way, it's going to determine whether or not you're going to be blessed, whether you can stand to be blessed. Jabez, he wanted to be blessed, but he wanted the blessing to be underneath the guiding and protecting hand of the Lord. Are y'all with me? I mean, that was, whenever you examine Jabez's prayer, that's what he wanted. He said, God, I want your direction. Whenever this blessing starts flowing into me, I want it all to be underneath your hand. But in the New Testament, when you flip over, there was a story that Jesus told about the prodigal son. And he wanted to be blessed, but he wanted to be blessed without the Father's hand upon it. He said, Dad, give it all to me, and then I'm going to take it off and do what I want to with it. Are y'all with me? He wanted a blessing his way. I don't want that. I want God to bless me, and I want God to be totally over everything he puts in my hands. Amen? So, Jared, if you'll come and help me close this very quickly. I just got to say, you know, which one of these things describes you? Is it the prayer of Jabez where you say, God, I want blessing, but I want it underneath your guiding. I want it underneath your protecting. God, I want it your way. I can tell you that it's very simply said, if you want it God's way, he'll bless you.